Congratulations. It's one thing to have a new release out, but to have the Beethoven piano sonatas must feel really great.
Yeah, I'm very excited. That's great.
When you perform these, I know you did this over an 8-day span. Is it the way they're recorded? Is this the sort of preferred performance that you like to do live?
Yes, before recording it, I absolutely wanted to play all of Beethoven sonatas in life, so I can experience it actually with a public, concert hall, and then bring it to the recording project. But yeah, before it was essential for me to recording it, to playing it live, and I still enjoying playing Beethoven sonatas in life as well. Yeah.
Sure. Well, I was reading that you, and I think I might have seen an interview, you were talking about getting to know Beethoven through his letters besides his music. And I was curious how it all began, how you were introduced to Beethoven.
It was life itself that introduced Beethoven to me. I mean, Beethoven is universally known, so you don't have to introduce. But Beethoven is just one of the first composers that I played actually in my life, and he's and of course, when you are like 12 and 13, when you're a student, Beethoven is some kind of academic composer that is imposed to every student. So, but he's not at all academic, but in a way that it's music schools that impose you to play one of his sonatas for your exams. And, so for me, his sonatas were some kind of very far pieces to understand, it's like Chopin studies. It's too often played for exams, so you are not taking any more of those Chopin studies like a real jewels, real treasures, And I really discovered the la grandeur, the greatness of the music of Beethoven and his sonatas much later, I would say. But I've played his music since maybe I'm like 4, 5, or I don't know. So yeah, but it requires, I would say, the maturity to really understand his music, because it's of course always nice to say that his music is revolutionary, his music is incredible, but it's much more difficult to really prove it by your interpretation and really to bring this innovative spirits in your playing, and to really making it happen again. So, yeah.
There are so many wonderful contrasts that Beethoven really explores, not only in dynamics, literally loud and soft, and sometimes unexpected accents will come along.
Absolutely, yeah, and that's so incredibly important. For example, when you're playing hammerklavier, there are differences between just only accents and sforzandi, and you really have to make difference between those two different accents. And it's so incredibly important to really play all those sforzandis, for example, in Great Fuga of the hammerklavier, or even, I mean, this his obsession, because Beethoven also obsessed by sforzandi, and you can already find it in his first sonata and in his second sonata as well. And when you smooth those sforzandi, well, the charm of Beethoven's music is gone. So I absolutely agree with you that the contrast is so incredibly important, or those sforzandi that makes Beethoven's music so particular. Of course.
Yeah, and you mentioned Hammerklavier and some of the early sonatas, and to me there's such humor in some of this music, and then
Yes.
there's so many, I mean the
Yeah.
drama in that final
Yeah.
movement of Opus 106 is just amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. The humor is incredibly present in, for example, the second sonata. That's, he's one of course, he's very, and the drama of Hammerklavier is, I would say, that, I mean, I think the first movement of the ouverture, I would say, the first great chords that you have, it's for me like a big bang, it's like cosmic explosion. And it's the Great Fuga is not, it's not even like human emotions. It's the scale goes beyond human level. It is of cosmic situation, you know, and it is so scary to play this great fuga because it's not destined to our human ears. It's almost like extraterrestrial. It's so incredible, alien. And even today, it's so difficult to, it's so new to our ear, even if it was written like more than 200 years ago, but it's still very innovative. So that's incredible. Yeah.
I know people think about the symphony, something like the Eroica, being longer than any symphony had been so far, and things like the beautiful Heiligedankesang and the late string quartets that are incredibly beautiful, long, slow movements. He does this with some of the sonatas, and I imagine to sustain sound and to bring out these lines is a wonderful challenge to meet.
Absolutely. For example, the Adagio of Hamoclavier is an incredible contemplation, incredible meditation, I would say. And yet you have to really bring the global structure. You have to lead the public from the beginning to the end. And the public has to always follow this, I would say, the line from the beginning to end. And you have to bring this expression, bring this lyricism and this great sentimental expression, like, you know, the Beethoven writes in his score. And yet it has to be very, very meditative. And yet you have to find this great expression, which is very vibrant and very intense, and to handle it, this tension from the beginning to the end. That is very difficult to do in live concerts, particularly, you know, because you have to really take the public in your hands and lead them from from the beginning to the end. So, yeah, that's the duty of interpreters, which is very difficult.
Yeah. I know reading, I think folks will find it interesting that you took tempo, looked at the metronome markings for the late sonatas when Beethoven finally had a metronome, and tried to apply this through the whole set.
Yeah. I think it's incredibly important to consider the metronome indications as well as in his symphonies, as well as in the Hamoclavier, which is the unique sonata where you have this indication of metronome. And of course, we can always find some excuses to say that we cannot play because it's too fast, or Beethoven was crazy, or his metronome was not working. But that's not valuable excuses, because we know that the metronome that Beethoven used at that time is exactly the same standard as ours in nowadays, I would say. And we also know that Beethoven put a great attention to put every single mark of metronome for each movement. You know that he changed it several times to really find the right tempo, which is also, of course, which can change day by day, because a composer is a human being as well, and the music itself is a living human being, so it cannot be like robotic and always same tempo at all, but in a way that it gives us the very precise tempo conception of Beethoven's music as he was hearing in his mind, in his own mind. And even if we are not playing exactly the tempo that was written, it's very, very important that we at least try to reach it, you know. And of course, it's incredibly difficult, but when you are deciding, when you take your courage in your hands and you say, okay, then I want to play this Hamoclavier, that's incredibly daring thing, then you have to really play it according to the intention of the composer. When you cannot, well, then you don't play, you know. And Beethoven in his life, he struggled so much, and he composed the music even if everything in his life was trying to him to dissuade, you know, because he was this deafness. So he was trying to always overcome his own limits, and he waits actually his interpreters to do the same, in a way that we as interpreters, we have to try to overpass our own human limits, and that is very important. And of course, I think it's very important to, for example, study the history of interpretation of the symphonies of Beethoven. So that's very interesting how you can compare the interpretation of Toscanini, Fuchs Wengler, and then Gardiner and Norrington and Abbado, and recent composers like Parvojärvi, how the interpretation changes. For example, compare the slow movement of Ninth Symphony with Barenboim. Lasts like 90 minutes, and you hear it with Gardiner, it's like 11 minutes. There's like 8 minutes of difference, you know. And yet, or for example, Toscanini, it takes like 50 minutes. So, and yet you cannot tell that who is wrong and who's right, because there is so many ways to reach this truth. The truth is the music. I think, like, you know, Picasso said it so beautifully. He said that if there was just one truth, well, we as painters, we couldn't paint a tree in so different manner, so different way. So I think music is really our truth, and there are so many different ways to reach it. And I personally like very, very much this incredible innovative inspiration and very vivid and this incredible courageous interpretation that Norrington and Gardiner brought to us, because they were one of the first who started to really consider the tempo indication that Beethoven himself put in each of his symphonies, which is very important, because when you take your courage to really consider and respect the exact intention of Beethoven, of the composer, well, the music starts to seem incredibly revolutionary and so incredibly vivid and so actual. It is not even the classical music, and you start to realize why this music is so revolutionary, you know. And for me, that's also incredible to discover their interpretations and how,
Sure. Have you thought about playing any of the Liszt transcriptions, or just
yes,
read through any
course.
with fun of the Beethoven symphonies?
Yes, I mean, even if I like to read directly the orchestral score, well, I like very much the transcriptions of Liszt. It's very helpful to really, you know, play the symphonies with my own hand. Yeah, so I like it very much, yeah.
Oh, excellent. Well, we are tickled to hear all these sonatas. Despite an idea of not including 19 and 20, because Beethoven had removed those.
Yeah.
It's a lovely set, and we want to say congratulations.
Thank you.
Anything in the works? Are there more things that you're looking forward to recording?
Yes, I've just recorded the Scriabina Ravel the sonatas and waltzes, just like in April, so it will be released very soon.
Oh, excellent. Well, we'll look forward to those, and can't wait to Tuesday to see these released on iTunes.
Oh, yes.
Well, thanks so much. It's wonderful to talk to you, and look forward to a lot more.
Yeah, thanks. Bye-bye. Thank you.